Hey, good evening, everybody. Thank you for coming on somewhat short notice, I guess. For this year's women's shiurim topics, so we were trying to figure out like what topics to do, and Rachel Frogel actually suggested that we should do things related to shuls, because we have a new shul, Be'ez Hashem, very, very soon. So now that we have it, we have to figure out how to use it. So when we were figuring out what topic to talk about tonight, I thought we'd get the ball rolling on issues relating to a Beis HaKnesses that hopefully our Ezras Nashim will expand from, you know, 2.5 seats to 120 seats or whatever it is that we're fitting in the... So that was the thought. Now, of course, if you have any other topics that you want covered over the course of the year, just send them to Chavi and she'll tell me, and then we'll arrange for that. But we had the new shul for Yom Noraim, and it was so wonderful, and it was so nice and spacious, and the acoustics were so great, and it wasn't, I don't know, maybe 5 minutes that we were there, and controversy erupted. Which way should the women face during davening? Should the women's seating be facing toward the middle, or should the women's seating be facing toward the front of the shul? Some argued, well, when I daven, I want to daven to Hashem. I'm not davening to the people downstairs. I'm davening to the Ribon Shalom. So I want to face Mizrach. I want to face Yerushalayim. I want to face, the way that I'm supposed to face the davening. Whereas others argued, I want to feel like I'm part of what's going on in the shul. I want to see what's happening. I want to feel there should be elevated seating so you could see what's going on. Otherwise, I don't feel like I'm davening together with a tzibur. So that issue is not what we're going to talk about tonight. I just decided to call the shiur which way to face during davening, because we'll talk about which way to face during davening, but I'm not getting involved in how the Ezras Nashim should be set up. I'm going to allow, I think we should, it should be like a jury. We should take all of the women who are interested and put them in the Ezras Nashim, lock the door, and say, you come out when you have a decision. So when the decision is made by those parties who are nogea b'davar, who come to shul and plan on using the shul, then we'll be happy to oblige. I mean, I have nothing to do with with obliging, but I assume the building committee or whatever would be happy to oblige, even if it involves increasing the budget. But good luck in getting everybody to agree. So what we're going to talk about instead is just in general what we're supposed to face during davening. Like, what about over here? This is definitely not Mizrach. Whenever people come and they daven at the Young Israel, for one tefillah, they daven here somewhere else, they're confused. The Young Israel faces that way, we face this way. In the old shul, it was even worse. In the old house shul, it was because the Hashkama minion, which davened upstairs, faced that way, the same way as the Young Israel, and the minion downstairs faced this way. So within one building, we were actually facing two different directions. So obviously something was not right. Something was a little bit off. So what do you do in that situation? And like, what's behind it? Is all of this just a nice idea? Is this a requirement? A requirement midrabanan? A requirement midoraisa? So it happens to be that I wrote about this issue twice. In the first volume of my Sefer, in Simon Chav Gimel, I wrote about, on the topic, what was the title of the piece? L'hispale l'kivun ir HaKodesh v'amikdash. The requirement to daven toward the city of Yerushalayim and the Mikdash. And in my second Sefer, my first piece is called Kedushas Aron HaKodesh, Vadinim HaMistaf HaMikach, that the Kedusha of the Aron Kodesh, and Halachas related to an Aron Kodesh, and the very first Halacha related to an Aron Kodesh that I discuss is the placement of the Aron Kodesh. So that issue is an issue that there's a lot to say on it, but Alana has given me a half hour limit. So we're going to talk about the background to the halacha, and then we'll give maybe a little bit of the hashkafa behind it, which just jumps right off the page. Like, it emerges directly from the halacha. There's not much of a leap that you have to do to realize what the hashkafa of the matter is. One thing is abundantly clear, that when setting up a shul, it is appropriate and indeed required that the shul be set up in such a way where the Aron is in the direction, for those of us here in America, in the direction of Mizrach, which faces Yerushalayim. They had a problem in South Africa, where Rabbi Sternbach was the rabbi for half the year before he moved full-time to Eretz Yisrael. they had shuls that were facing Mizrach. Why in the world would they face Mizrach in South Africa? They should be facing Tzafon, they should be facing North. But it was a bunch of Eastern European Jews who, after the Holocaust, ended up in South Africa, and they remembered they're supposed to face Mizrach, so they built all the shuls facing Mizrach without taking into account where they were on Earth, and that was not the correct thing to do. But the correct halacha is very clearly that the Aron should be set up in a place where it's directly across from Yerushalayim. But what happens? I remember the old YU-based Medrash, they had it set up in such a way where the Aron was, let's see if Mizrach was the door, the Aron was to the north. So Mizrach, and the doors were to the east. So if you were facing east, you were facing right at the doors as people were coming in and out. If you were facing the Aron, you were facing north. Now, there is a practice by Lichadodi, by Boikala, which, by the way, now there's going to be plenty of room shul for people who don't have very young children at home and could make it out for Kabbalah Shabbos. I think it's a wonderful idea. At least the teenage young lady should make it out for Kabbalah Shabbos. It would be a very nice thing. It's a beautiful tefillah. And at the end of, now that we have, as Rosh Hashem, enough space for everybody, so when it comes to the last paragraph of Lichadodi, everyone faces where?
Is it west?
Or back, or the door, right? Meaning, so ideally, all of those are supposed to be the same place, right? Meaning, if the Aron is in the east, and the halacha is that the doors are supposed to be in the west, because you're supposed to walk in the back of the shul and be facing the Aron, which is all the way in the front of the shul. So if the Aron is in the east, the doors are supposed to be in the west. This is something we were very machbid about in the new building. Obviously, we didn't have the ability to do it until now, but we were very machbid about it, and there was one architect that wanted to kill me because I was very machbid about this, and he was explaining to me the halacha, if you go over the North Pole, then maybe you could face north, because that's the fastest route to Israel if you take the Concord. I don't know what he was trying to tell me, but the bottom line is, we were very machbid about this, because that's the way it's supposed to be. But picture here. Right, the doors are to the east over here. This is the main entrance for the men, at least for shul.
What? I mean, both doors are east. They're both on the same side.
No,
the other door is also east.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, but into the shul, right, is east. Meaning to come into the shul is east. So the doors are all in the east, right? And the Aron is in the south, right? So now you're facing the Aron. What do you do at Lichadodi? So do you face the opposite of where the Aron is? Do you face the west, because that's the opposite of east, or do you face the door? Right. So you have three possibilities. I remember, I think in all my years in YU, I stayed for Shabbos once, and it was my first Shabbos there, I think. I stayed for Shabbos, and everyone was just facing each other. There were no two people that had the same minhag. That everyone was just like bowing to each other, facing each other. It was all wrong, because no one knew exactly what to do. Rav Shechter told us Rav Salvechik used to not daven in the Beis Medrash in YU because of that. He didn't like the way, so they built a brand new Beis Medrash, the Gluck Beis Medrash in YU, and they got it right. They put the Aron in the east, but they put the doors in the east also. So now the way to get into the Beis Medrash is by the front. If you could imagine this were actually east, right? And here's the Aron. The doors are here, there and there on the two sides, which is so distracting, right? You're davening and everyone's coming in and out of the main doors. So that was curious why they made that decision. I'm sure there was some architectural reason for that, but that was the decision that they made. So what happens, though? What are you really supposed to do if the Aron is in the wrong place? So what does everyone do here? No. What do we do? No. For davening, for Shemoneh Esrei. Do you face east or do you face the Aron Kodesh? I mean, take that. So everyone always faces
it. We don't actually know what happens because
what do you do?
We face the Aron Kodesh.
You face the Aron Kodesh, right? So
we don't know what happens on the other side.
Okay, in a chidami, that's one of the issues that we're figuring out. Right. If you were only 5'9" or taller, you would have no problem. You would be able to see. So what's the correct halacha? So the Mishnah Berurah writes that Beis HaKnesses she'midabas Aron HaKodesh letzad Darom ha'olam. Let's say that you have a shul that puts the Aron in the south for some inexplicable reason, like here. V'kulam esfal negar Aron HaKodesh letzad Darom, and everyone's davening toward the south. Afshu hu shalok ha'hogen. says Mishmuri, even though that's wrong. But if you're going to come to a shul and everyone's facing that way, you have to face that way also, because it's more wrong to do differently than everybody else. So the Mishnah Berurah seems to say pretty clearly that it's wrong to face the Aron Kodesh when the Aron Kodesh is not east. But don't be Porish Min HaTzibur. If that's what the Tzibur is doing, then that's what you're supposed to do. And that's exactly what Rav Sternbach told the Chevra in South Africa that had a shul that was facing east, even though in South Africa it makes no sense to face east. He told them, if that's what the shul is doing, so then that's what you got to do, even though it's incorrect, even though really La Halacha you're supposed to be facing Yerushalayim. However, the Mishnah Berurah also wrote longer comments on the side of the Mishnah Berurah called the Bir Halacha. And in the Bir Halacha, he's not nearly as certain. And he says, you know, Tzarchim, b'makomos shemepnei hadochak yevshalem b'shum panim la'amido b'kosal ha-mizrach. What if you have a situation where, because of pressing circumstances, like you're in a temporary location, you're just trying to maximize the space, you're trying to set up a shul in a way that makes some sense, that will be somewhat practical to use for the temporary space that you're in. So you end up with an Aron Kodesh that's not in the Mizrach. It's got, and it ends up in the south. Which way should you daven? Says the Bir Halacha. I don't know. So in Mishnah Berurah, same author, Chafetz Chaim. Now, it's not necessarily so that it's the same author. I mean, the Chafetz Chaim was definitely the general editor of the Mishnah Berurah, but in the Chafetz Chaim's biography, it says that he had help from his sons-in-law in writing the Mishnah Berurah, that he assigned to different parts of it, and he was just the general editor. However, and in the biography, I think it says that every once in a while you'll find a contradiction in the Mishnah Berurah, and that's because, you know, they weren't all on the same page necessarily about every last detail. In a recently published edition of the Mishnah Berurah on Hilchos Shabbos, they said that they asked Rav Chaim Kanievsky, if when you find a contradiction in the Mishnah Berurah, can you assume that it was just different authors? You can't do that with the Torah, right? But with the Mishnah Berurah, can you assume that it was just different authors? Or do you assume that, no, the Chafetz Chaim had the final say in everything, and therefore you don't, you have to assume that there's an answer to the contradiction? Rav Chaim Kanievsky said, you always have to assume there's an answer to the contradiction. There's no contradictions in the Mishnah Berurah. So what do we do with this one? This one seems like a contradiction. So I saw in the Sefer written by Rabbi Asher Bush. Anyone know Rabbi Asher Bush? Anyone go to Frisch? No. He was a Rebbe in the Frisch school. The Frisch Yeshiva, I think they officially changed their name, the Frisch Yeshiva in Paramus, New Jersey. And he is the head of the Vada Kashrus in Riverdale, I think. And he's an outstanding Talmud Chacham. And he's written a couple of Svarim. So in his original Sefer, Asher L'Shlomo, I think it's called. No, Shoel B'Shlomo. He writes that maybe the answer to this contradiction in the Mishnah Berurah is it depends if you're davening with a minyan or you're davening alone. He says maybe when the Mishnah Berurah writes that you have to face Mizrach, that's talking about a Yachid. Whereas when he talks about that he's not sure which way to face, maybe that's when he's talking about a Tzibur. Why? Because he says it could be the whole idea of facing the Aron is a din in the tzura of tefillah b'tzibur, that's how a Beis HaKnesses is supposed to function. But when you're davening on your own and you just happen to be in the shul, then and you're not with a minyan in the shul, then you don't have to follow that tzura and you should face Mizrach. That's what he suggests. It's a little bit forced to say that, meaning that one of the cases of the Mishnah Berurah is you're in shul but there's no minyan, and hard to imagine. So in Shevet Alevi, Rav Vosner writes in a tshuva that he thinks that the halacha is very clear, that you face Yerushalayim. That's the real halacha. You don't face the Aron Kodesh. So what on earth have we been doing since this past Shabbos, Parshas Zoach, was the 15-year anniversary of the shul. Many of you have been here the entire time, right? So 15 years since we started, and for all 15 years, we've been facing the Aron Kodesh, and not, so again, and it's always been south, right? Except for those who daven Hashkama Minyan in the old building. So what in the world? So that's against Rav Vosner, it's against the simple pshat of the Mishnah Berurah. Why in the world would we do that? So in my first Sefer, that's where I left it. In my second Sefer, I remembered that Rav Shechter paskin the other way. Rav Shechter paskin that really the halacha that you're supposed to face Mizrach, the way he understood it, is a halacha about where you're supposed to place the Aron Kodesh. That you have to place the Aron Kodesh in Mizrach. But when you're in a shul, you face the Aron Kodesh always, regardless of where the Aron Kodesh actually is. That's what Rav Schachter holds the halacha, and that's what we've been doing. But Rav Schachter says, you know, you do have to be very careful when building a shul to make sure you make the Aron Kodesh right and to really put it in the Mizrach. Why? Where does it come from? So Rav Schachter brings an interesting raya. There's the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah describes, at the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah, he describes the mitzvah to daven, right? So he says, mitzvah saseh lispal b'chol yom, you have a mitzvah saseh to daven every single day, shenemar pasuk say, he quotes a pasuk, and then he says, v'akol yom espalim nochach ha-migdash b'kol mokom shiyeh, wherever you are, you should be facing the migdash, v'chein haya adavar tamid mi-Moshe Rabbeinu v'ad Ezra, and that was always the din, from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu until Ezra. He describes what tefillah used to look like, and then he says, and in the description what tefillah used to look like, he says, but always facing Mizrach, and then he says, and then Ezra came along and he instituted 18 brachos of Shemona Esrei. Sounds like everything before, he says, and Ezra came along and instituted, everything before that was from Moshe Rabbeinu. Everything before that was the Din D'Oraisa, which would mean to say that facing the right direction is a din d'oraisa. It's not just a minhag that we have, it's an actual din d'oraisa, which makes it a very, very serious issue. So that's what Rav Schachter points out in one of his svarim, in the Sefer Mipnina Rav, that this is a serious issue, it has to be taken very seriously, that one has to face the proper direction. But where do we get it from? Where does it come from that you have to face Mizrach at all? You know, the Aron Kodesh I get. Where do we get the Aron Kodesh from? The idea that everything faces toward the Aron Kodesh. Where does everything in the shul come from? The whole structure of the Beis HaMikdash. Someone asked when they saw the new building, you built it as a giant rectangle just like the Beis HaMikdash? We're like, no, it was a tiny plot of land that we just had to maximize. And, we gave Nechama Khan a box and said, make it nice. And, you know, and she did what she could with the box and she did a pretty good job. So it happens to work out nicely that it actually looks like the Beis HaMikdash. But there's actually a piece Rav Asher Weiss has in one of his svarim and Rav Schachter in one of his svarim also, where between the two of them, they come up with, like, I think, 11 similarities between a shul and the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, that when we say that a shul is a mikdash ma'at, it doesn't only mean the idea is approaching Hashem the way we would, or in a similar way to the way we would in the Beis HaMikdash. It actually means that it's supposed to be built as a mikdash ma'at. The furniture is a mikdash ma'at. The idea that we have a bima in the middle, that's supposed to represent the mizbeach. The aron represents the aron. There are things when we have a menorah on Chanukah, you put it in the south because the menorah goes bedarom. Meaning, all of these things represent the way that a Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be. The difference between Beis HaMikdash and Beis HaKnesses, Rav Schachter explains in Eretz HaTzvi, is that when we have a Beis HaMikdash, we're going to Hashem's house. In the Beis HaKnesses, Hashem is coming to our house. Right? That's why in the Beis HaKnesses, you're allowed to wear your shoes. In the Beis HaMikdash, you're not. Because sometimes when you go to someone else's house, they ask you to take off. It used to be more popular. Now it's not. You don't have this so much. But they would ask to take off your shoes at the door, not to track dirt all over their house. In your own house, you can wear shoes wherever you want, right? You don't have that. It used to be the very popular people to have white carpet, which seems to me to be a very stupid idea, you know. But especially if you have kids. But so if you have white carpet, right, take off your shoes when you come in. But my own house, I could wear whatever shoes I want, and many other halachos related to that as well. Rav Schachter pointed out that, you know, when you're meeting with someone, you would never. It would be totally inappropriate to just get up and start walking around and wandering as you're meeting with someone. That would be considered highly disrespectful. And you have those guys in shul also, like the people that are just pacing around, walking around, hey, you know, like that are running for office during davening. So that's not appropriate, obviously, in terms of tefillah. But where does this, getting back to our story over here, where does this halacha come from of facing in a particular direction? So the Aron Kodesh, again, we said we understand. That's the Beis HaMikdash. You walk into the Beis HaMikdash, and the Aron was actually over there. It was furthest west. So you're walking on the eastern side, meaning when we're at the Kotel, we're at the western wall, the western wall of the Har HaBayis, which is behind the Aron. Meaning when you would come into the Beis HaMikdash, you would not be coming in from the Kotel side. You'd be coming in from the opposite side. The western wall is behind the Aron. So in the Beis HaMikdash, the Aron was to the west, but the doors were all the way in the back, and you'd go further in and face in as you were going in. Not everyone was allowed to go so far. Only the Kohen Gadol was able to go to the Kodesh Kodashim, and even that only once a year. And then Kohanim were allowed to go to the entire Ezaret, even to the Ezra's Kohanim. Yisraelim were not. And, you know, there are different limitations of where people are allowed to go, depending on Tumah status, on gender, on Kohen Levi status, you know, Kohen Levi Yisrael status, different halachos. But wherever it is, you're facing the Aron. Where does it come from to face Yerushalayim per se? So the Gemara tells that there are two sugyas in Shas that talk about where to face. One is the Gemara Maseches Brachos. The Gemara tells us, what if you have a person who's blind and he has no idea where he is? Or he's just lost and he has no idea which way is Mizrach. I mean, he can't look at the sky. The assumption, the reason the Gemara gives an example of a blind person, I assume, is because anyone else could just look up and see where the sun is and based on the time of day, try to figure out which way to face. What do you have a person who can't figure it out? So, Gemara says, Yichavin libo keneged Rav Shabbat Shemayim. You could still daven. You just have kavana that your tefillah should go to Hashem. Good. Haya omei bachutz la'aretz. Let's say, Rachmana Litzlan, you're not in Eretz Yisrael. Yichavin es libo keneged Eretz Yisrael. You should direct yourself toward Eretz Yisrael. You're standing in Eretz Yisrael, direct yourself toward Yerushalayim. Direct yourself toward the Beis HaMikdash. And it goes on. If you're in the Beis HaMikdash, direct yourself toward the Kodesh HaKadoshim. If you're behind the Beis HaMikdash, by the western wall, turn around and face where the Kodesh HaKadoshim is from that side. So wherever you are, if you're in the south, the Gemara goes on to say, face north. If you're in the north, face south. Just make sure that everyone, and the Gemara says that everyone ultimately is facing the same direction. That is the more familiar Gemara. That's the one that we seem to paskin like lahalacha. But there is another Gemara, a Gemara Maseches Basra. And the Gemara tells us, where should you face when you daven? Well, it depends, what are you davening for? So, what are people davening for? So the Gemara only assumes two possibilities. And neither of the possibilities are probably the first thing in your mind. It's so interesting. What are you davening for? First thing that comes to mind. What are you davening for?
Health
and parnasa. Anything else?
Children,
right? It's so amazing. There is a bracha for health in Shemoneh Esrei. There's a bracha for parnasa in Shemoneh Esrei. There's no bracha for children in Shemoneh Esrei. It's one of the strongest kashas in Yiddishkeit that I know of. Meaning, is there anything a Jew davens for more than their children? It didn't make it into Shemoneh Esrei somehow. Okay, be that as it may, the Gemara assumes the two things that a person would daven for are chachma and wealth. Those are the two biggies, chachma and wealth. Why did they daven for chachma? Because they assume with their chachma they'll be able to become more wealthy. No, I don't know. But chachma and wealth, it's a value. So says in our Amar Yitzchak, Harotza Sheyachkim. So if what you're interested in is Chachma, Yadrim, then face south. Visheyashir, and if you're interested in becoming wealthy, Yatzbin, you should face north. Why? What does south and north have to do with Chachma and wealth, respectively? Shulchan B'tzafon Menorah B'darum. Because the Shulchan, which represents wealth, and the Beis HaMikdash was in the north, and the menorah was in the south. The menorah represents chachma, the seven chachmos, the seven branches of the menorah, all facing toward Torah, which is the ultimate chachma. But that's what it represents. Rabbi Shimon Levi Amar Li Olam Yadrim. Rabbi Shimon Levi says, no, always face south. You know why? Shemitoch Shemischake Misasher. Because if you're smart enough, you'll figure out how to make money. It doesn't always work that way. The smartest people you know are not always the richest people you know. The richest people you know are not always the smartest people you know. But he says, you'll probably figure something out. Shneamar, orech yamim b'yamina, b'smola osher v'chavod. That arichas yamim is b'yamina, and b'smola you have osher v'chavod. So how does that show? That shows that when you have osher, I'm not sure. How does that pasuk show me that if you have chachma, you'll become wealthy? And they say, Rav Shechtes or Rav Adi Yosef used to say that pasuk when he would slap people. You know, Rav Adi Yosef had this thing that he would... some people like pinch your cheek as a loving thing or pat you on the head. He used to whack you across both cheeks as a sign of love. Like his grandchildren would come, whack, whack. So Rav Shechtes said he always feels very honored because last time he saw Rav Vadya safe, he got good zets on each side of his cheek. So he knew that Rav Vadya liked him.
Okay, if you're a Rav Avadya, you can get it. He used to do that to like prime ministers. Like he's Rav Avadya Yosef. He could do whatever he wanted. You know, he would never go to them. They would come to him, and you know that's he was a king. So says the Gemara. Wait a second. Rabbi Shimon Levi says the Shechina is in the west. So how could you be facing north or south if the Shechina is in the west? Shechina is in the west? Where does that come from? Meaning, do we assume Shechina is in the west? Where do we assume the Shechina is?
Everywhere.
Or most concentrated? In the Beis HaMikdash. So is that west? It depends where you are. If you're in the far east, it's west. If you're here, it's east. Shechina is in the west. What Rabbi Shimon Levi is assuming is that there is a direction where there's Shechina, like the sun. You know, the sun rising in the east and setting. That's a direction for the whole world, and Shechina also has a direction for the entire world, and that direction is west. So Gemara says, how can you daven south or north if the Shechina is in the west? So Gemara says, "Demitzadei dat studi." Yeah, angle yourself a little bit. So how do we paskin? It's totally against the other Gemara. So in Shulchan Aruch we paskin like the Gemara in Brachos, and the assumption in Shulchan Aruch is that we completely ignore, we completely reject the Gemara in Maseches Bava Basra. None of this with the south and the north. I remember when I first moved to North Woodmere, every time Rabbi Billet would see me, he would say, "Rabbi, don't you know that if you want to become smart, harotza sheyach kim yadrim, that you're supposed to go south if you want to become wise?" So he liked that joke. I don't know, but it seems the halacha that we don't paskin that way. We paskin that you're supposed to face toward Yerushalayim. That's where we guide ourselves. In fact, there's even a discussion in halacha if you find yourself facing in the wrong direction. So that's where they use that Gemara in Bava Basra, "Mitzadei dat studi," that maybe you should point your face in the direction that you're supposed to be. A lot of times this happens at a chasana, right? We're davening Marav at a wedding or something. So someone, they start davening one direction and someone's got the app, you know, and like it's the middle of Shmona, I say, oh, you know, he's pointing in the other direction. So what do you do in that situation? So really you're supposed to turn your head that way. Unless, Mishra points out, you find yourself facing west. You can't, unless you're like a Barbie doll, you can't like turn your head all the way in the opposite direction. So, you know, then you're stuck. Just be mechavein asalev, lavina shabbat shemayim. It should also be pointed out that the idea of facing directly east is probably not correct. Meaning, there are svarim that, you know, go through, depending on what city you're on, the exact angle of how to face directly toward Yerushalayim. However, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and others write that it doesn't seem that that's what we're actually supposed to do. We're supposed to face in the general vicinity, the general direction of Yerushalayim. And he says that Rav Shlomo Zalman writes that the minhag was never, in previous generations, to be makbid, to have the Aron Kodesh directly 100% in the direction of Yerushalayim. It would always be a little bit off by a few degrees. Why? Because we're still mindful of what's actually on the Makom HaMikdash Bizmaneinu, and facing directly toward what they call Shu'alim Holchim, the Makom Kodesh HaKadashim. That was the bringing to mind the Gemara at the end of Maseches Makos, that there are foxes that are on the area of the Mikdash. That's worse. There's Beis Tiflis Shogayim. There's a mosque on the area of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's not something we want to. Maybe it's better to point away just a little bit. So that's if the shul is not exactly 100% east, but it's in the general, or not 100% at the direct angle toward Yerushalayim, but it's in the general direction of east, that seems to be even better than being exactly angled toward Yerushalayim. So what does all of this mean to us? So essentially two things that emerge from this whole halacha. One thing that emerges and by the way, I should mention, as a matter of halacha, all of this is for Shmona Esrei. So for Shmona Esrei, no matter which way the seats face in the new building, and again, you guys can fight that out, enjoy, have a great time. But for Shmona Esrei, everyone should be facing Mizrach, which is the Aron Kodesh. right? Everyone should be facing that direction, even if the seats are not facing that direction. That is that's very clearly the halacha. The rest of davening, it doesn't really matter so much. But for Shmona Esrei, that's critical. And I would argue, not just for, you know, most of davening, I'm facing the wrong direction because I'm facing everybody else. So, but for Shmona Esrei, you turn around and you face the right direction. It's not only Shmona Esrei; it's probably true for Magen Avos on Friday night. There's a short bracha right after Shmona Esrei. It's an abridged version of Shmona Esrei, of the Shabbos Shmona Esrei. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that if you miss Shmona Esrei entirely on Friday night and you hear the Shliach Tzibur say the Magen Avos Tefillah afterwards, you're Yotzei Shmona Esrei. You don't have to say Shmona Esrei. You actually Yotzei with that, which is a little known halacha. It may even turn out that if you forget Mashav Ruach Marad HaGeshem, that you Yotzei with that, even though that doesn't even have Mashav Ruach Marad HaGeshem in it. You're just Yotzei Shmona Esrei with it. So that for that, you should probably also face East. But other than that, for Pesukei Zimran, things like that, it's not really necessary to face East. Those who are knowing to stand for the entire Chazaras HaShatz should probably also face the East during Chazaras HaShatz. Those who are not knowing to stand do not necessarily have to face East during Chazaras HaShatz. But what does all of this point to? What all of this points to is two incredibly important values in our tefillah. One incredibly important value in our tefillah is the halacha that we face the Aron Kodesh. Why do we face the Aron Kodesh? Because, as Rav Shachter writes in the Sefer Eretz HaTzvi, the Aron Kodesh contains the Torah. And the Torah is the source of all Kedusha. Meaning if a Beis HaKnesses has Kedusha, it's only because there's an Aron Kodesh B'tocho. Rav Shachter even went so far as to suggest that when you have a recessed Aron Kodesh, where it's sort of like outside of the room, they carve out an area that's outside of the room, like you have over here, that maybe the Beis HaKnesses doesn't have full Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses, because the Aron Kodesh isn't in the room. That was another thing I put my foot down on. They wanted to do that in the new building to create a little more space. So we're going to have more space than we ever had before anyway. We're going to keep the Aron Kodesh in the room. And that way, you have the full Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses. I remember the first time, right after they spent God knows how many millions of dollars building the Young Israel Woodmere, Rav Shachter spoke at the Young Israel Woodmere, and he said, so if you have a recessed Aron Kodesh, like over here, you don't have full Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. And I was like, they just spent like $10 million building the place. But ideally, the Aron Kodesh should be in the Beis HaKnesses, because that's where the Kedusha comes from. It all comes from the Kedushas HaTorah, and that's why Shlomo HaMelech had the Aron in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and Chizkiyo HaMelech, I should say, before the Churban, hid the Aron underground, the Gemara tells us. Why do you have to hide the Aron underground? Because in Bayis Sheni, we weren't going to be able to bring the Aron back, but it had to be on premises somewhere. It had to be there, otherwise the Kedusha Space of English can't exist without an Aron. The Aron has to be at least on site in order to have Kedusha Space of English, and that orients ourselves, our lives, toward our focus should be toward Torah and its observance. And that is number one, the first thing that emerges. And again, not a jump at all, not a leap at all. It's directly what emerges from the Hashkafa, that we face toward the Aron Kodesh, because that's where we are orienting our lives, toward the Torah HaKadosha. And the second thing that obviously emerges is the fact that we are mechavein libo, whether our bodies, ideally, and certainly even if we're lost, mechavein libo, we're mechavein our hearts toward Yerushalayim and toward the Beis HaMikdash. And that's something that that a Jew always has to remember also, that when we are in a Mikdash Ma'at, when we are in a miniature Beis HaMikdash, but outside of a real Beis HaMikdash, we remember that we're not where we need to be, that we're not in the place where tefillos go most directly to the Ribbono Shel Olam, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is closest, where we are most elevated, and that imagery of all of our tefillos having to go there first, to go to the Makom HaMikdash first, before rising to the Ribbono Shel Olam, is a healthy reminder that no matter what's going on in our lives, and no matter where we are in Galus, that's the goal. The goal is always to get back to Eretz Yisrael, to get back to having a Beis HaMikdash, and hopefully through proper treatment of a Mikdash Ma'at, treating it with the proper level of respect, proper level of Kedusha, and having meaningful tefillos In a mikdash ma'at, the Ribbono Shel'olam will look and he'll say, oh, they know how to treat kedusha. They know how to treat a mikdash. And if they know how to treat a mikdash ma'at, maybe they'll be zoche to a chance to show how to treat a real genuine Beis HaMikdash in the Makom HaMikdash with a true Hashra HaShechina, Be'ezras Hashem, Bekarov the Yemin.